The following is a class on Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 13, text number 24, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on May 21st, 2009, in London, England.
So, tonight we are most fortunate to have the opportunity to study Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 13, text number 24.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Ya evam veti purusham. Prakritim chagunai saha. Sarvata vartamano pi. Nasabhuyo bijayate. Ya evang veti purusham. Prakritim chagunai saha. Sarvata vartamano pi. Nasabhuyo bijayate.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. One who understands this philosophy concerning material nature, the living entity, and the interaction of the modes of nature is sure to attain liberation. He will not take birth here again, regardless of his present position. Clear understanding of material nature, the supersoul, the individual soul, and their interrelation makes one eligible to become liberated and turn to the spiritual atmosphere without being forced to return to this material nature. This is the result of knowledge. The purpose of knowledge is to understand distinctly that the living entity has by chance fallen into this material existence. By his personal endeavor in association with authorities, saintly persons, and a spiritual master, he has to understand his position and then revert to spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness. By understanding Bhagavad Gita as it is explained by the personality of Godhead, then it is certain that he will never come again into this material existence. He will be transferred into the spiritual world for a blissful, eternal life of knowledge.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Balakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raguna Tanvita Damsajima Sudaita Savaduta Vrijan Krishna Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha.
So, normally, we say that you have to surrender to Krishna to go back to Godhead. But this is a different angle. Here it is say, if you just understand this knowledge, you will go back to Godhead. Some may say, well, this is great, I found a loophole. I don't have to surrender. All I have to do is understand this knowledge, be a jnani. And then I will go back to God. And it says it right here. One could argue, you see. So is that really a proper understanding? That we have to analyze. Obviously what Krishna is saying is true. It cannot be untrue. It appears to contradict the idea that you have to surrender. But that's only apparently, you understand. We have to understand how this is true. Now you think, well, Krishna has made a mistake. He said you have to surrender, and now he says all you have to do is understand this knowledge. We should understand Krishna has not made a mistake. So we should understand then how this is true. That's the proper way to approach it. Sometimes we read the scriptures, it appears that things are contradictory. Instead of thinking there's some fault with the scripture, we should think there's some fault with our understanding. You see, we have to come to a higher level of understanding. So it's very clear, if we take it from that angle, that we just have to have a deeper understanding of what's being spoken, and then we can make sense out of it. So the point is, if you really understand, you will surrender. And the other point is, in order to really understand, you have to surrender. From both angles, you see. Bhaktosi me sakacheti. You have, because you're my devotee and my friend, therefore I'm revealing this to you. In other words, you can't really understand these things unless you're surrendered. You just can't be a jnani and understand these things. A philosopher only, you see. That is not sufficient. Krishna reserves the right not to reveal himself to these rascal speculators, you see. You have to be a devotee, otherwise you'll never understand. So there's no contradiction at all here. One simply has to understand what it takes to actually understand. And then it's perfect. So then one could ask, well, which way should I go? Should I just surrender and then get the understanding? Or should I try to understand so that I can surrender? Which way should I go? The answer is both. Work it from both ends. When in doubt, work it from both ends. Then you know you got it covered. Do both things. Surrender so you can get understanding, and try to understand so you can come to the point of surrender. Both things we should do. You see. No question of, you know, which one we should do both in. There's so many volumes of books to give us understanding, and there's so many services to do. Beginning with the tongue. Adao jiva dho. What are the two beginning services for the tongue? Take prasadam and chant Hare Krishna. You see. And then when you've done that, there's so many other services. You can preach, you can worship the deities, you can clean the temple, you can earn money and donate to the temple. There's so many things one can do. So from both sides we work it. We do the service and we also study the knowledge, you see. Actually, you know what Prabhupada said? He said, you should study 24 hours a day. And you should do service 24 hours a day. You may say, well, that's impossible, Srila Prabhupada. How you can tell us to do service 24 hours and to study 24 hours? But actually, again, we haven't raised our understanding high enough to understand how you can do both things simultaneously. Remember, there's no contradiction. There's only apparent contradiction due to our lack of understanding. So what then is the proper understanding of how you can be 24 hours studying and 24 hours engaged in doing service? Think of a chemistry course. There's the laboratory and the lecture. Your lab work is part of your studying because you're putting the knowledge into practical application. That deepens your study when you actually apply the knowledge in the laboratory and see how the knowledge works. You see, in the lecture you learn that H2O equals water. And you go to the laboratory and you actually do it in the test tube. You take two parts hydrogen, one part water, one part oxygen, and you get water. You see. I remember in a high school kid, I did that, and I was amazed. Wow, this is really real. In the lecture, we were told H2O equals water. Now here I am in the lab, and I'm mixing two parts hydrogen with one part oxygen, and lo and behold, there it is in the test tube, water. You see. So actually, when you're doing devotional service, that is study, because you're observing how the knowledge works. You understand? We read in the books how by engaging oneself in devotional service, one transcends the modes of material nature and enters into a state of transcendental bliss. And if you actually apply the process correctly, you'll experience it. You may say, well, I did it, but I didn't experience it. There must be something wrong with the philosophy. No, you didn't do it. You see, again, don't blame the process. Blame yourself. Well, I followed the recipe for banana bread and I got some goo in the bottom of the pan. Well, wait a minute. You didn't really follow the recipe. Look again more carefully. You left out the baking powder, dummy. You see. So look at the... We have to actually carefully see, am I really following this process as it's given by Srila Prabhupada? Or am I doing my own watered-down version of Krishna consciousness, and that's why I'm not getting the result? I guarantee you, if we're not getting the result, it means we've watered down the process with our own, easy version. It doesn't work. One has to follow the recipe. You got to put in the flour, the sugar, the butter, baking powder, everything precisely, the milk, the salt, everything precisely according to the recipe, at the right temperature, etc. And then you get a fantastic banana bread. So in the same way, if we will follow carefully, step by step, exactly what Prabhupada is giving in his books. And I guarantee you, you will come to the point where you can see God face to face. I'm not joking. You will come to the point where you will directly meet Krishna face to face, eye to eye. And this process works. This is real. This is the real thing. You see? You want to meet God? Here's how you can do it. You can be a personal associate of the Supreme Person, the source of all existence. that person who is all-powerful, all-beautiful, all-renounced, all-knowledgeable, all-wealthy, and all-famous, you'll become an intimate associate of that Supreme Person. But you have to follow the recipe. Precisely. Can't mess around with the recipe. You see? Throw a little Mayavadi in or a little Sahajism. This ism, that ism. No, pure Krishna bhakti. Shuddha bhakti. Ahaitakiya pratiyata yayatma supersediti. Unless your devotional service is uninterrupted, that means you don't take time off for sense. I'll go off for some sense gratification tonight. I've been doing a lot of austerity, so I deserve it. I'm going to go to have a little sense gratification tonight. No. Uninterrupted. And unmotivated. Not that I'm doing this because I want to be recognized as a great transcendentalist. You see? I want to be a powerful spiritual leader. You see? I want to have followers. You see? No, without any motive. If we have a motive for followers, we may get our followers, but we won't get Krishna. So what's the use? No sense. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya says, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. I don't want wealth, I don't want women, I don't want followers, all I want is bhakti, birth after birth. You see? The pure devotee doesn't even care about going back to Godhead, because he's already back to Godhead. He's as good as back to Godhead. Premanjana charito bhakti valochanena santaksadaiva hedayesho valokayanti yang shama shundarma chintya ganasvarupam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. He is directly associating with God at every minute. What need does he have to go back to God? He's already directly associating with God, Krishna. So for him, liberation is already there, you see. Tate nukam pamsa samiksha mano punjana evadma vrikam pakavakam tadvagvapavur vidadam namaste jiveta yomukti pade sadaya bhak. My dear Lord, this is Bhagavatam 10:14:58. My dear Lord, those persons who were constantly awaiting your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon them, who continue to suffer the reactions for their past misdeeds while they constantly offer you respectful obeisances from within the core of their hearts, are certainly eligible candidates for liberation. Indeed, it has become their rightful claim. So this is the mood of the pure devotee. He sees everything as Krishna's mercy. He feels the mercy of Krishna being showered upon him at every minute, in all times, all places, and all circumstances. The so-called good and the so-called bad of this material world, for him, it's all good. It's all good. There's no such thing as bad or inauspicious for the pure devotee. He sees that Krishna is arranging everything to favor him, to bless him in all circumstances. And therefore he enthusiastically engages eternally in Krishna's service with ever-increasing absorption, ever-increasing ecstasy. This is called Krishna consciousness. So, we have about 15 minutes left. Maybe there's some questions I can try to answer. Anybody have any questions? Yeah. I have to speak up. I'm actually losing my hearing these days. So no, speak loudly and distinctly.
Okay. You mentioned about how to understand Krishna. There are two ways to understand Krishna. One is to surrender, then to get the knowledge. And one to get knowledge and then surrender.
Yeah.
So is there any difference between both of, like, first you surrender, then understand Krishna, or you understand Krishna, then surrender to Krishna?
What's the question? Is there a difference?
Is there any difference in any process? Because ultimately, in this
state, not really. There appears to be a difference, but actually, there's none. Because studying the knowledge is itself devotional service. Krishna says, those who study this Bhagavad Gita, they're worshipping you, their intelligence. So actually, there only appears to be a difference. They're the same thing. Whether you're in the lecture or in the lab, you're still mastering the art. You see, whether you're sitting and reading the Shastra, whether you're sitting and hearing a lecture or giving a lecture, or you're doing the actual application of the knowledge. Actually, the hearing, the reading itself is an application of the knowledge. Studying the knowledge is itself the practice of devotional service. So this is a good point. It only appears to be different. Actually, it's not. But someone who says, I will just study, but I won't do any service, you see, that's a problem. Or I just want to do the service, but I don't want to take time. You know, we've seen some devotees are so passionate to service, they don't want to chant their rounds. They just get up and start doing service the whole day. They love doing service, but they can't sit down and be meditative, you see. That's also a problem. So we have to cultivate the active nature and the meditative nature both. Slightly different point, but it's related. Both natures have to be cultivated. When you're an old person on your deathbed, you have no capacity for activity. So we have to learn how to fix the mind on Krishna. But unless you actually become active for Krishna, when you have the facility for being active, you'll never be able to properly meditate. So we have to do both things.
Yeah. So how can we understand what procedure? How did Arjuna follow that? Did Arjuna surrender to Krishna, then he got the knowledge, or he got the knowledge, then he surrendered to Krishna?
Well, Karpanya dosho pahata sabhavo prichchami tvang dharma samuddhacheta yat shreyansya nishchitang bruhi tang meets yashashtehang shadimam tam vipanam. Arjuna, he realized he knew he was messed up. He knew he was really messed up. As long as he tried to be the friend of Krishna, it just didn't work. He realized that this buddy-buddy relationship he had with Krishna wasn't working. It was leaving him in distress. So, in the very beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, he actually surrenders to Krishna. Now I'm your disciple, and the soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. He didn't know what to do yet. But still, he hadn't started fighting a battle yet, but he said, okay, now I will just hear you enlighten me. That is surrender. And then, once he heard the whole message, then he knew what he... Now I have heard, now this is what I should do. So even if one doesn't know how to do devotional service, they're, you know, completely cold. They just walked in off of Oxford Street, you see. They have no idea what's going on. They say, well, I just want to be enlightened. I lay aside all their ideas. I want to sit in here and you tell me exactly what to do. They're surrendered. Even though they don't even know how to do anything yet. Because they agree to hear submissively. That is surrender. So Arjuna surrendered in the beginning. And because he surrendered, he was filled with knowledge. And then he had the knowledge of what to do with his surrendered consciousness. How to make it a practical reality. Surrender in action. Does that help clarify things? Yeah.
So isn't that it's called the surrender? First surrender, then you get the knowledge. Wouldn't it mean that first is the surrender?
The hearing has to be submissive, that's a fact. You have to surrender your false ego in the very beginning.
Mundaka Upanishad says that one must approach the spiritual master, and Krishna also says that.
Yes, that is surrender. Although there are people who study the Vedic wisdom, you know, Tato, Brahmaja, Gyasa, Jnanis, who are not yet devotees. You see, there is that class of persons. If they're sincere, Krishna will send the bona fide spiritual master. It's like the Kumaras. They had labored Gandhi, you see. They were sincerely seeking truth. So there is such a thing as someone who is studying the knowledge and they haven't surrendered. But if they're really sincere, Krishna will send the bona fide spiritual master to enlighten them. Now, this is the perfection of you have progressed. Just like what does Prabhupada say? He says, impersonal Brahman realization is perfect. You may be surprised to hear. And Prabhupada said, impersonal Brahman realization, that is perfect. He said, Paramatma realization, that is more perfect. And Bhagavan realization, that is most perfect. So someone may be on that level. I'm just a jnani. They haven't surrendered, but they're just studying the knowledge. You see. No, it's not. Someone who's studying and but not at that point, if you come to a bona fide spiritual master, a devotee, that means a devotee, or the Supreme Lord Himself, and you submit yourself to Him, that is surrender. But if you're just speculating, reading Vedanta Sutra, you know, trying to figure it all out, you're not surrendered yet. One can be, what is that? Chaturvidha vajante mangjana sakriti narajana ato jagyasya artati jnani cha bratarshiva. You see, that jnani, he is seeking knowledge of the Absolute. He's still considered impure. He hasn't come to the point of surrender. But now he's approaching the Lord, so now he will surrender. You see? So there is such a thing as studying the knowledge and not being surrendered. The one says, okay, now I'm ready to lay aside everything and just hear submissively. Then that is, if he studies in that way, that is surrendered jnana. That is bhakti jnana. You see? There's jnana and bhakti jnana. Bhakti jnana, he means he is surrendered. But there is jnana without bhakti. There is such a thing. They come to the level of impersonal Brahman understanding. Yeah. There is such a thing. Questions more? Everyone's now satisfied. Ready to surrender fully. The Guru and Krishna, ready to surrender. Yes.
It's just a bit of a devil's advocate, because the verse starts by saying one who understands the material nature. But is it necessary to understand the material nature?
Is it necessary to understand the material nature in order to surrender? Is that what you're asking?
We are seeking spiritual knowledge.
To have spiritual knowledge?
No, is it necessary to understand the material nature as we are seeking spiritual knowledge?
I'm hearing the first part of the question. Is it necessary to understand material nature for the purpose of for the purpose of spiritual life?
No. Just because we are going towards the spiritual life, is it necessary to study the material nature?
since we're going to spiritual life, it is necessary. And that is stated in the Shesha Upanishad, Mantra 11. Vidyam cha vidyam yastad vedo bayam saha. You see, only when you can cultivate knowledge of vidya and avidya can enjoy the full blessings of immortality. It is stated that one should have knowledge of both. Sometimes people say, well, come on, I just want to hear about Krishna kissing the gopis. I don't want to hear about the modes of nature. I mean, don't bore me with that stuff, you know. That is called sahaja, you see. We have to study the material. Why is Krishna going in great detail, the whole chapter, the three modes of material nature? We have to understand these things to get liberated from them. If we try to jump to, you know, so-called spiritual life without understanding the deadly material nature, you see, we won't be able to distinguish. It's very, very tricky, in one sense, to understand the difference between, you know, sense enjoyment and devotion. It's very tricky sometimes. On the subtle plane, you see. Many people thought they were very advanced, and everyone thought they were very advanced. Where are they now? They've given up Krishna consciousness. So it's razor's edge. So we have to know the dangers. It's a very important thing. We have to know the dangers of material sense gratification. Otherwise, why is there so many verses in detail? You know, jayato vishayan pungsam sangateshu pajayate sangat sanjayate kama kama krodo vijayate krodat bhavati sangmaha sangmahat smriti vibhrama spriti bhangshat buddhi nasho buddhi nashat pranashyati. Why Krishna is going to such detail? Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, texts 62 and 63, I think it is. Why is he going to so much detail? While contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment for them. From such attachment, lust develops. From lust comes anger. From anger, delusion. From delusion, bewilderment of memory. From when memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. And when intelligence is lost, one falls down again to the material pool. Well, it's Krishna Leela and all that. Actually, Krishna Leela is there, because Krishna is saying it. That is a pastime of Krishna. Those words are, by studying the Bhagavad Gita philosophy, you're entering into Krishna Leela, actually. It is Krishna Leela. You see. So, by studying the material nature from Krishna and the pure devotee of Krishna, you're entering the spiritual world That study of the material nature is taking you into the spiritual world. You understand? Yeah. So it's pretty amazing process, Krishna consciousness. We simply have to take it as it is. That's the key. Do not water it down with anything else. As Prabhupada has given it to us, keep it pure. We don't have to modernize, quote, unquote, I mean to say, Krishna consciousness. That will spoil it. Krishna consciousness is timeless. It exists beyond the realm of time. It's not something that's a cultural thing that you have to change it as the society changes. No. It's completely beyond this material existence. That's the meaning of transcendental. Actually, this time thing is just it's not the liberated position. Only a conditioned soul experiences time, past, present, and future. A fully liberated soul lives in a state of timelessness, actually. In the spiritual world, time is conspicuous by its absence. There's no past, present, and future there. The eternal present. We can't conceive of it. But if you go back to Godhead, you will experience it. Anything else? Yes.
Could you give an example how Krishna consciousness would be modernized, like watered down, like modernized, like use the word?
Yeah, there's so many things. It's like in Vedic culture, there's no such thing as men and women publicly embracing. Now we go to some, you know, ISKCON festivals. See, it's really weird. You know, they think this is, you know. And if you think it's not good, then what are you, some kind of old-fashioned, you know, you're one of those orthodox, you know, old-fashioned, you know, rules and regulations, Hare Krishna people, you see. These sort of things are going on in our society, public embracing of, even a husband and wife would not publicly embrace in Vedic culture, only privately, if they wanted to embrace. But to go to a festival and see, you know, men and women embracing each other, you know, it's absolutely crazy. But it's becoming in North. I don't know about here, but in the U.S., you can see it again and again and again. So-called modernization. You see. Mm-hmm. One example. There's so many examples, but that's one example. Anything else? Well, our time is up. You may have one last question. All right, we'll let you in.
Yeah, this is supposed to be joining Krishna consciousness. Supposed to join in Krishna consciousness. We see in beginning we are. Feel very nice, and after that we see, you know, supposed to up and down. We are chanting regularly, but in so many problem in life.
Yeah.
That time, some people become disappointed. Maybe they leave or whatever.
So you start with big, great enthusiasm, and then you feel some difficulties along the way. So what's the question?
My question is, why it's happened like that? Suppose his beginning is.
Yes. And the reason that we start off with a bang and then we kind of fizzle out is we're in the mud of passion. Our practice of Krishna consciousness is Vrajasik. That's what. That's the reality. If your practice of Krishna consciousness is sattvic, it will get sweeter and sweeter and sweeter, you see. Yattaragre visham meva pariname mrito pramam. Sattva, sattvam, sattvikam, sukam, sattvikam, proktam, atmabuddhi, prasada, jam. That, which in the beginning may be like poison, but in the end becomes sweeter than the sweetest honey. And which awakens one to self-realization, that is happiness in the mud of goodness. So if you're having difficulty, that you were all in live and you started, now it's all getting kind of weird, you know, some of the time, too much of the time. It means you're rajasic. Your practice is rajasic. You gotta elevate it up to sattva guna by improving the quality of your hearing, improving the quality of your devotee relationships, improving the quality of your reading, becoming more clean, more neat. All the brahminical qualities. Shamadamastapashal cham chantirarjamanivacha. Focus on developing those brahminical qualities, you see. And then you'll find, yes, this is getting sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. Day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. You see, Brahma Saukyam Tvanantam. That is Krishna consciousness. Ever increasingly ecstatic. Krishna consciousness is not static, it is ecstatic. You see. You have to be sattvic, and from there, you see. Of course, rajas is all right. You have to have some, that rajas is good, use it for Krishna. But cultivate sattva simultaneously. We're not trying to curtail anybody's passion, you know. Your passion is good. keep that passion, but two rails on the track, you know, have a good sattva along with it. Cultivate the mode of goodness while you're using your passion for Krishna. Do both things. And then your passion, if you bring sattva in, then your passion will never burn out. If you just do passion alone, it'll burn out, definitely burn out. You be as sattvic as possible while you're using your passion for Krishna, then you'll never lose your passion will increase and your goodness qualities will increase. Isn't that clear? Yeah. All right, so our time is up. We thank you very much, everyone, for coming tonight to hear these words of wisdom from Srila Prabhupada's wonderful teachings. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Bhagavad Gita ki jai.